You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, we kick off a series of candidate interviews with the challenger in the Democratic primary in a Milwaukee area congressional race.
First, it's summer, and summer usually brings to mind barbecues, fireworks, ice cream, and, of course, lounging on the beach, taking in the surf and the sun.
But the beach wasn't always a place of fun and leisure. In fact, historically, the beach itself used to be seen as a place of fear and destruction. Think shipwrecks, desert islands, and pirates. All of which make historic and literary appearances again and again throughout time.
Joining us now to talk about the history of the beach and how it's thought of today is Daniela Bly. She's a historian and writer, and she recently wrote an article in the Smithsonian Magazine about the invention of the beach. Daniela, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you for having me.
Well, Daniela, these days we think of the beach as the place where you go to get some rest and relaxation. If you can afford it, you buy a house on the beach. But you say it really hasn't always been like that. In fact, it sounds like beaches used to be the place that you'd stay away from. Tell us about what people first thought about the beach.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. For most of human history, actually, the beach has been a very scary place that people have avoided. So if we look at, for example, antiquity, classical mythology, if we look at interpretations of the Bible, specifically the story of the flood, sort of what we see is that the ocean inspires sort of this deep sense of repulsion, right? We see people talking about the angry seas, the wrath of the ocean. And the coastline in particular is kind of this in-between place that is hard to define. It's a sort of where the elements meet, and it's especially threatening. The sea is a source of scary monsters, sea creatures, kraken. Spanish and Portuguese sailors and fishermen take relics and put them in the waves. So people are staying away from the sea and the beach. It's a very scary place. Shipwrecks, natural disasters, sort of all these associations are part of this image of the sea as a very frightening, threatening, chaotic place.
So when did that first begin to shift ever so slightly?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a process that happens in stages. And the process really starts sort of around the middle of the 18th century. And what happens is in Europe, and in Britain specifically, sort of we see new medical discourses among elites about sort of the sea, the salty, freezing sea waters as a place, as a restorative place, right? So a place where people who are suffering from medical conditions can take to the water. And, you know, it kind of becomes a cure, a treatment. There's a fad among elites. And sort of what that leads to is the rise of the resort. So we see in the 18th century in Britain the emergence of a few seaside resorts. And, again, this is like a very elite process, right? So you have people going and dunking in the very freezing waters, and they think this is going to cure them. It becomes part of this whole new discourse on health and hygiene and fresh air and getting outside. And some of this is a response to the Industrial Revolution, which is starting. And then sort of the next phase is the early 19th century, where you have romantic writers and poets who are turning to nature. And they're looking at nature as sort of a place of self-discovery, a place of emotion and awe and terror. So here we can think of, you know, Mary Shelley's Frankenstein, Lord Byron, Wordsworth, Coleridge, sort of all these people look to nature as a source of transformative experiences. And we see sort of the rise of you look at European painting, or you look at travel literature, or you look at poetry, sort of the sea and the shore becomes a place to go into nature and have these experiences. So it's interesting. It kind of starts as a medical process, and then we have this added layer of kind of a cultural turn. It becomes a cultural process. And then I would say sort of the third stage is over the course of the 19th century, and this is like a much more material process. This is the Industrial Revolution. This is sort of with the rise of the modern city. The beach gets constructed as an escape, right?
So that's kind of what we have today, where you flee the city, and if you can afford it, you hang out at the beach.
Exactly, exactly. So, you know, and then trains and sort of modern travel facilitate this process, right? So it gets imagined as a place that's away, it's apart, right? It's a blank slate. That's where you go to relax. You lie on the beach. So by the 1850s, we've come, I mean, it's like a 180-degree turn from, you know, a few centuries before where the beach was this terrifying place that everyone's trying to avoid. You know, now it's kind of this civilization story, right, where everyone's taking to the beach and you have the spread of seaside resorts first in Britain and then across Europe and then in the rest of the world. So it's really kind of a dramatic transformation.
We're talking to Daniela Bly right now. She's a historian and writer in San Francisco, and she recently wrote an article in the Smithsonian about the invention of the beach. And Daniela, do you know if those ideas, those early ideas of the beach being a super scary place associated with monsters and danger and pirates, that kind of thing, was that unique to Western Europe more or less? Because if I think of some of the, you know, more tropical beaches around the world where the water is not cold, there are not rocky cliffs, it seems like you could have gotten a different culture around the beach.
Right. I mean, yeah, I think it's always good to avoid making generalizations, right? I mean, every culture has its own particular narratives of the beach, and obviously, you know, island-dwelling people are going to have a very different concept of the beach and the ocean than, let's say, someone in the middle of the United States or someone in the middle of Europe. But I would say this phenomenon of sort of the, you know, and I'm doing air quotes now, invention of the beach is very much a European phenomenon. It's really a British phenomenon, actually. I mean, the sort of this is where the seaside resort first appears. And a lot of the evidence we have about the ocean and the shores being very terrifying places, a lot of that evidence comes from European literature, comes from European art. So it is a European story in many ways. But of course, sort of once Europeans in the 19th century go in search of, you know, new, quote-unquote, new unspoiled beaches, right, because their beaches are very crowded by this point, this becomes part of the story of empire, right? So the British Empire, which reaches around the world, you have this sort of becomes part of the colonial project, right? Finding, quote-unquote, new unspoiled beaches to civilize, basically.
And looking at some of the challenges that you say the beach as we know it is facing, you make the point in your piece that you talk to people who say that part of the problem with the beach is that it's sort of faceless. It doesn't really have a sense of place in a way. At least we see it that way, and that makes it vulnerable. Why is that?
Yeah. So because of this story, sort of these three stages that I laid out, and especially over the 19th century, sort of once you have masses of people escaping the modern industrial city, and the beach is kind of imagined as this blank slate, that has had really negative consequences. Coastlines are usually pretty sensitive habitats, and, you know, what we've seen in the last 100, 150 years is tremendous construction and human activity along the shore. So in California, where I live, I mean, the figures are astounding. Now 80% of the state's residents live within 30 miles of the shore. So we're gravitating towards the shore. And the numbers are going up each year. And because we kind of imagine the beach as this blank slate that's just for us to go and, pursue amusement, recreation, and so on, we haven't paid a lot of attention to the natural environment.
So are beaches as we know them and as we imagine them and want them to be, are they in danger today?
They are. They are. So I talk about in my piece I cite John Gillis. He's a historian at Rutgers University, and he's the author of The Human Shore, Sea Coasts and History, which is really a remarkable book that I recommend to anyone interested in the subject. And that's kind of his starting place, is sort of how we got into this terrible environmental crisis where beach erosion is happening all over the world. You have places on the eastern seaboard of the U.S., you know, trucking in sand every summer, you know, just kind of this ongoing frenzy of construction and development, boardwalks, housing. You know, this is the most expensive real estate, right? So it's become sort of the most desirable place to build and to live and to play, and it's really come at the expense of the beach.
Daniela, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Daniela Bly is a historian and writer. She recently wrote an article in Smithsonian Magazine about the invention of the beach, and she joined us to talk about the history of one of the world's favorite vacation spots.
Coming up after the news, we start a series of candidate interviews for next month's primaries. Gary George joins us. He's challenging incumbent Gwen Moore in the Milwaukee area 4th Congressional District. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.